Good morning. Welcome to Reveille United Methodist Church, the youth service. We are so excited. My name is Caleb Eckel, and we are so excited that you are here to join us for this awesome youth service. The youth have been working very hard to bring this to you. We have our great seniors, Ryan Holdyke and Vivian Boyd, who will be bringing the message. And we just want to say a big thank you. The youth have been working so hard this week. The staff has been working so hard to bring you this service. So welcome both of you who are in person and those of us who are joining online to the Reveille United Methodist Church Youth Service.
Caleb, thanks so much. I want to extend my welcome to all of you also on this great day, and to welcome those of you who are online, reminding you that online we're going to be having communion today, so we encourage you, if you're online, to gather your bread and juice together for later on here in the service. And also, we are going to be speaking today, our youth will be speaking today, about the story of Jesus turning over the tables. And Ryan and Vivian and others will be inviting us to think about our anger. When is our anger righteous? What's the relationship of our anger and our love? We're going to talk more about that throughout the service today, and I'm excited for all that we will hear and see. We also encourage you to look at all the announcements that are in the bulletin, including a reminder that throughout the season of Lent, we receive a special offering, and all the proceeds of that will go towards United Methodist Family Services, and also to Westview on the James. We welcome all of you and are glad that you're here. The Lord be with you.
Please stand and join me for the call to worship. This is the day that the Lord has made.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Every age, every stage, every person.
We are all part of God's family.
Every ability, every talent, every gift.
We are all invited to God's work.
Samuel, Joseph, David, and Mary were teenagers when God called them.
We are never too young or too old to be part of God's story.
We are all children of God called to show love to the world. Let us worship now as one body, Christ's church.
Let us worship using the hymns that the youth have chosen, starting with number 64, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
For the prayer of confession and the silent prayer of confession. Let us pray. Merciful God, we come to you this day to ask for your forgiveness. We have been angry and have turned on others and people we love. We have sinned, even though we know it is wrong. Please help us to follow you and to be more gracious and loving. Help us turn away from anger and spite. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hear now the good news. The steadfast love of our Lord never ceases, his mercies never come to an end. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Let us now share the peace with one another.
Good morning. My name is Karen Rios. I'm the Children's Ministries Director here. And I would like to invite all of our children to come up. And if you are with us online today, I'd like for, and if there are any children present, please move a little bit forward because this is your time as well. I'm delighted to also welcome Nico, Franklin, Josiah, Isabel, and Ella, who will be doing the children's message with you this morning. Let's come on up.
Hi, guys. Okay, we're going to read John chapter 2, verses 12 through 15. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples. There they stayed for a few days. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. How do you guys think this made Jesus feel? Okay, Barrow. Sad. Maybe he was a little sad. Do you think he may have been angry a little bit because it was his father's house? Oh. Very good. They were turning the temple into a market. I think that's why he was angry. Do you guys think that he would have any other emotions? Like, do you think he would be sad? I know. They built a house on top of the building. Maybe. Maybe he was just very upset that they were turning his father's house, because it was a temple, into a marketplace. Yeah? That's it. Okay, you guys ready? We're going to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the love of Jesus that defends his father's house. Amen.
All right, you guys can go back and sit down. Thank you so much, youth, for helping us out today.
Please join me in praying the prayer for illumination. Gracious God, you are patient with us, even when we get angry and irritated. Help us listen and understand your message today. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Today's first scripture reading is from the book of Psalms, number 19. It's maybe found on page 433 on your pew Bible. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs his course with joy. Its rising is from the ends of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making the wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and keeping them there is great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Today's second scripture reading is from the book of John, chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. This may be found on page 863 of your pew Bible. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers were seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The word of God for the people of God.
Hello, my name is Ryan Holdyke, and I'm currently a senior at Collegiate School. I've grown up in Reveille, and I've had two older brothers do the same, and one younger brother who's a freshman. In this passage by John, we see Jesus in God's anger lash out against the sellers at his temple in Jerusalem, an anger which Jesus rarely shows, as he is often the one calming the hatred seen between others and spreading God's word through his love. The disciples remember what is written, that Jesus' zeal for God will consume him, and that this zeal, or dedication to God, is what pushes Jesus over the edge in the temple, causing his outburst of rage. Jesus defends his authority, which is questioned by the merchants in the temple, by telling them to tear it down, and he will raise it in 3 days, speaking not of the temple as it had seemed, but about his body. So why exactly is Jesus so angry at the merchants just trying to make some more money? And how shocking is this outburst that Jesus has to physically flip tables in the temple? Jesus is angry not because of what the vendors are selling, but of turning God's house into a market and taking advantage of the people going into the temple to worship God by distracting them with cows and sheep and doves. The house of God is for worshiping him and only that, as the temple or church is the embodiment of God and should be given respect. Seeing these merchants do what they are just to make some extra money, disrespecting the holy area on a day close to Passover, is maddening to Jesus. And because of this, we shouldn't be shocked by how Jesus reacts. John writes of the zeal that Jesus has for God, causing him to react with such emotion and rage, and calls back to Psalm chapter 69, verse 9, which reads, "For zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who insult you fall on me." The zeal that is talked about in this verse and in John is a burning desire to please God and to do his will. Jesus believes that the merchants are insulting God directly by not respecting his space and taking advantage of the people going to worship. And because of this, Jesus believes that the insults fall on him and he must respond to do God's will. Jesus then proceeds to make a whip out of cords, drove all the sheep and cattle out, and flipped the tables of those counting money. Jesus does this because of his extreme love for God, and the disrespect of the one Jesus loves causes him to lash out. I think many of us can relate to Jesus here, wanting to flip tables over and scream at those who are angering us, whether it is at school, work, or even in the house. I believe that a lot of the time, this anger we feel to flip tables is rooted in our love for others, as it is for Jesus in this passage. We get angry when we see others messing with people we love, making fun of them, or harming them. When we see this happen, we react more hostile than we do when that action is done to someone we may not know or love as much. And this is why it is understandable to see how Jesus reacted. What is often the case, too, is having anger towards those who we love, because we want what's best for them, and sometimes when we feel that they are doing something wrong, or if they harm us, we can react more combatively. It is hard to determine whether our anger for others is unjustifiable or if it is righteous. Jesus' anger is obviously righteous, as he is working in God's will and going against people who have disrespected God. But sometimes, outside the church in our everyday lives, it isn't as clear as to what the correct approach is to others' actions. Where I personally have trouble deciding whether my anger is righteous or not is often with my brothers. In a house of four boys, as you can imagine, emotions can run high, and there are often things said and done which we regret later. Where I can especially get angry is with my younger brother Luke, who I've gotten mad at for the way he closed the door, something small that he says to me or another person, or how I see him act in front of others at school. Because I think he is doing something wrong or disrespectful, I can sometimes blow up at him and try to get him to do something how I believe it should be done. As much as I wish I could say that these moments have been righteous, similar to Jesus in the passage, they are not. While my rage might be out of love for my family members, the response is helpful to no one, and it isn't in my parents' will or in God's. So when is it a righteous time to be angry at someone or something? Jesus was righteous because he was defending God and doing his will. But in our lives, there aren't many places where we can do that in everyday situations. I believe that anger can be righteous and just if we are using it as a way to defend or teach others, as Jesus does in this passage. As he is defending God and teaching the people to not use the temple as a place to try to boost themselves economically, but only as a place of worship. One place in my life where I think my anger has been righteous has been when others have messed with someone I know's belongings or time. People might be disrespecting the person I know by not listening to them or fully excluding them when they shouldn't be, or even breaking and stealing what that person owns. The connection with the person I know leads to anger because of the disrespect shown to them by others, and this anger can be righteous when it is used to defend the person I know and to hopefully show others that they are being disrespectful. Jesus' anger is righteous, and his reaction to the merchants is caused by his zeal for God and his want to do God's will. The disrespect shown to God by the merchants falls upon Jesus' shoulders, and he sees it as an insult needing to be reacted to. We are shown in this passage that the temple or church or anywhere holy is a space that should be centered around God and not used for our own selfish personal gain. Jesus shows us that there are moments where our anger can be righteous, but he also reminds us that sometimes our anger can be unjustifiable and uncalled for. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Vivian Boyd, and I'm also a senior at Collegiate. I have attended Reveille since I was born, and because giving a sermon as a senior has been something I've been looking forward to and anxiously awaiting, I thought it necessary to personally connect today's passage to a real experience that I have gone through and which many will relate. Today, I want to dive into the depths of John chapter 2, verses 13 through 22, a passage that illuminates the righteous anger of Jesus and how it relates to our journey of finding self-confidence, especially for young women. In this passage, we witness Jesus entering the temple and encountering a scene of chaos and exploitation. Merchants were turning a sacred space into a marketplace, exploiting the people's faith for personal gain. What does Jesus do? He doesn't turn a blind eye or passively accept the situation. Instead, he overturns the tables, driving out the merchants with a whip, displaying a righteous anger rooted in his love for God and justice for his people. Now, although it may seem completely unrelated, let's connect this to the experiences of young women today. It's easy to feel overwhelmed, silenced, or even invisible in this world. Many young women struggle with self-confidence, as do I, grappling with feelings of inadequacy or unworthiness in the face of societal standards and expectations. But here's where the message of Jesus' righteous anger comes in. Just as Jesus refused to tolerate the desecration of the temple, young women can harness a righteous anger against anything that diminishes their worth or inhibits their potential. This isn't about lashing out in aggression, but rather about channeling the anger into action, speaking up against injustice, advocating for themselves and others, and reclaiming their sacred space within society. Moreover, Jesus' actions in the temple demonstrate the importance of standing up for what is right, even when it's uncomfortable or unpopular. But just as Jesus fearlessly confronted injustice, young women can draw strength from their faith to stand firm in their convictions, to speak truth to power, and to assert their inherent value and worth as beloved children of God. Furthermore, Jesus' righteous anger ultimately leads to transformation and renewal. After driving out the merchants, he declares, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." This foreshadows his death and resurrection, signaling the ultimate triumph of love, justice, and redemption over sin and death. Similarly, for those struggling with self-confidence, embracing righteous anger can catalyze personal transformation and renewal. It can empower them to break free from societal constraints, embrace their unique identities and gifts, and walk boldly in their purpose and calling. Just as Jesus' resurrection brought new life and hope, so too can the journey of self-discovery and self-confidence bring renewed joy, fulfillment, and purpose. This righteous anger can be hard to differentiate from simple anger that is irrational and even hateful. In my religion classroom at school, one of the kindest and most caring teachers resides, and he fills this room with religious and spiritual leaders, famous quotes, and symbols of various world religions. One poster stuck out to me from day one of contemporary world religion, a large black and white banner with a portrait of Martin Luther King Jr., who I'm very sure you all would recognize. Below his picture is a quote that reads, "Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." The difference between righteous anger and simple anger is where the anger comes from. Simple anger usually derives from a place of hatefulness and unhappiness, whereas righteous anger is born from love. This quote connects to Jesus' anger in the passage because it illustrates where his anger comes from. It comes from a place of love and respect for God. He is not afraid to speak out and show his anger because he knows what is right. Let us take inspiration from Jesus' righteous anger as we navigate our journey of finding self-confidence. Let us boldly confront injustice, advocate for ourselves and others, and embrace our inherent worth and dignity as beloved children of God. For young women and girls, as well as anyone feeling cast aside by society, remember this passage when you feel hopeless. Remember to carry yourself with righteousness, regardless of others' negative behavior towards you. Channel Jesus' upfront anger when those around you put you down or are put down, and use the love in your heart to stand up for what is right. Be confident in what you know is right versus wrong, and do not be afraid to go against the norm to form a new, more righteous path. And for my girls, may we always remember that just as Jesus overturned the tables in the temple, we too can overturn anything that diminishes our light or inhibits our potential. Amen.
Friends, as we continue in our time of worship together, we're going to be led in prayer by two of our youth, Nate Nokomis and Aiden Takus. And so let us close our eyes, let us clear our minds, and go to the Lord in prayer.
Let us pray. God, thank you for this day in your grace. Thank you for sitting with us when we ponder over our choices, when we make bad choices out of anger. Help us to not let things get out of hand. Forgive us when we hurt others, ourselves, in the world. We pray for peace and love. Forgive us for times when we get angry and we don't handle it well. Forgive us when we get angry and take it out on other people. Forgive us when we get angry and take it out on ourselves. Help us, Lord, to heal the area in our lives where anger can rampant. Help us to be quick to forgive when others anger us. Help us to express our anger in healthy ways that don't bring harm to others or ourselves. Help us not to sin even in our anger. We pray for all people in our world who are struggling with how to deal with anger. We pray for all who have been the victims of poorly handled anger. We pray for the areas in our world where anger has caused destruction, pain, war, and suffering. Hear our prayers, Lord. We thank you for your grace and forgiveness, even when we fail to manage our anger poorly.
Help us to be more like your Son, Jesus, the one who taught us to pray, saying the words, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Forward to receive our morning offering, but as they are doing that, I want to encourage all of you to take just a minute and thank all these young people for their incredible work today. I got to tell you. They have worked so hard, and they have made such a difference. And because of your giving and your generosity and the great things you have done, you have enabled this all to happen. We thank you all for your generosity, and we thank you for your great work today.
Shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? God has told you, O mortal, what is good is good.
The Lord require of you. Almighty God, giver of every good and perfect gift, teach us to thank you for all that we have and all that we are. Let us praise you our whole lives and forever. Turn our anger, sadness, and happiness into a living sacrifice for you. We give thanks through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
As we join together now in the sacrament of Holy Communion, we invite you to turn to page 13 of your hymnals as we join together. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ is broken for you and for me and for a broken world. Jesus was broken that we might be healed. And the blood of Christ is shed for you and for me and for this world, that we might be redeemed by God's grace, set free to serve one another and this world.
Worshiping with us online to have your communion elements prepared that you may join with us in this sacrament of communion. I invite also our communion helpers to come forward now. I remind all of you that we will serve communion this morning by intinction. We invite you to come forward down the center aisle, come with your hands open We will place a piece of bread in your hand. You can then dip it into the cup and take of the two elements together. If you'd like to kneel at the communion rail and pray afterwards, you are welcome to do so, and you can return to your seats by the side aisle. If you need gluten-free elements, they are here, right here in the center for you. And if you are unable to come forward, we will also be having servers that will go down the side aisle that can serve you in the pew. At the end of the aisles, you also see some offering plates. This is our communion fund that goes to meet the needs of those in our community. This is the table of the Lord. It is not the table of Reveille Church. It is not the table of the United Methodist Church. For those who love God, for those who seek forgiveness of your sins, for those who long to live in peace with one another, we invite you to come forward. For this is the table of the Lord, and all are welcome. Come now and taste and see that the Lord is good.
Sings. my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul.
You find the prayer after receiving printed in your bulletin. Let us offer this prayer together. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Make us ever faithful to your high calling. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our final hymn is number 261, Lord of the Dance. Let's stand together as we offer our praise to God.
Sabbath when I cured the lame, the holy people said.
Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and offer his countenance unto you. May the Lord bless you and keep you this day and forevermore. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, as all God's people say, amen. Go in peace.